invite you to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we're looking at verses 1 through 5. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 5. If you're able, would you please stand? In honor of the reading of God's Word, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. If you do not have a Bible, we have some available for you in the lobby. Please feel free to pick up a copy as our gift to you. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Thank you. When sheep are called to be shepherds, this is a really interesting section of 1 Peter, because it is addressed specifically to the elders or the shepherds of these local churches. And Peter includes it in his broader letter. He doesn't write two separate letters, one to the open congregation and another sealed one that only the elders are to read. In other words, everyone will read Peter's words that are directed to the shepherds. He's telling the elders how to live and how to lead well before God's people, who at times are going to endure severe suffering. And he wants the church body to know this is how your leaders are to lead you. These are the kinds of leaders you should appoint to watch over you and care for you spiritually. Peter appeals to the elders of these churches, and through this letter being in the New Testament, to elders, shepherds of all churches. From three, he's appealing to them in the very first verse from three Christ-centered time perspectives. He says first, I am a fellow elder. I exhort the elders among you. I am a fellow elder. That's the present. I am one who also watches over and cares for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His body. It is His bride. It is His people, His sheep. The precious children of God have been entrusted to our care. And we care for them because they are His. I am a fellow elder. He also says, I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ. I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ. That's the past. He's saying, I was there. I was present when He was betrayed. I was among those who fled from His side. I said that I would stand with Him and die with Him, and I ran from Him just like the others. I even denied Him three times. Remember the guy who's writing the book? I denied Him three times, adding to His sufferings. And He gave His life. And I know why He gave His life. And I know what He was doing when He gave His life. He gave Himself to save His people. And now He has given His people to us. We are watching over the souls of those for whom Christ died. That's what he's thinking when he's saying, I'm a fellow elder. I appeal to, I exhort elders. I am a fellow elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And lastly, he says, and also a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. That's the future. At this point in Peter's letter, there's no doubt as to what he's referring to. It's the glorious, stunning, world-changing event of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember last week's text, in verse 13 of chapter 4. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when His glory is revealed. His glorious return. Christ died to save His people. Christ has placed men over His people to care for them as they suffer and await His return. And Christ is coming to gather His people into His eternal glory. He is coming to gather us up to Himself in John 17, that we may be in the glory that is shared between He and the Father. I love the verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that says, He's coming to be marveled at by those who believe in Him. That's why He's coming. To fold us up into His eternal glory, where we will forevermore marvel at His brilliant, radiant beauty. For these Christ-centered reasons, the calling of a shepherd is at once a most sacred and most fearful, a most joyful and a most terrifying, a most glorious and a most serious calling. It is not a position. It is a calling. It is not a status. It is not a status in the church. It is an undeserved honor. It is not higher level Christianity. It is not the place where the super Christians go. It is a place of servanthood. It isn't where you get your feet washed. It's where you get to wash feet. That's what shepherding means. So let's walk through this text and learn as a congregation, as elders, as shepherds, what God has given to His people, what God has given to His church by giving us shepherds. First, let's look at what is the calling of a shepherd in verses 1 and 2. And we've already kind of seen the introduction there of how Peter is exhorting the fellow elders. He says in verse 2, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight. So it's very clear who we are called as elders, as shepherds, to shepherd, right? Those that are among you. Not every believer. We're called to these that have entrusted themselves to our care, that have appointed us to watch over them spiritually. That's one of the main reasons why we have the mechanism we call membership. So leaders know who we are to care for. So members are involved in entrusting men, recognizing those God is raising up, entrusting them to watch over them. Peter uses three terms in giving the job description of the shepherd, the elder. Those three terms are elder. He says, I'm a fellow elder, exhorting the elders. So one term is elder. He says, shepherd the flock of God. That's another term, shepherd. It's in the verbal form now, but you find it in other places in the New Testament in the noun form, shepherd or pastor. It's another way we say pastor. And then he says, exercising oversight. Oversight, being an overseer. So it's overseer or bishop, as sometimes said in the scriptures. So elder, shepherd, or bishop, elder, pastor, or overseer. These three terms or their forms are used throughout the New Testament to refer to the same office in the church. We understand that because they're often used interchangeably, just like they are here in these first two verses. But each term highlights a different aspect of that office and what is to be done in that role. The elder refers to the nature of those who are to hold this office. They are to be mature in the faith. They are to be men who have already demonstrated by example and testimony that they are qualified. They're qualified to be spiritual leaders and that they have a maturity about them for the things of God and the people of God. The best elders are those who are, you might say, eldering before they are appointed as elders. That's who stands out as those God's raising up to watch over His people. Second term is shepherd. That word shepherd focuses on the spiritual responsibilities of the elder. He is called to shepherd God's people. The elders and shepherds here at this church have studied through material that tells us what that means is really boils down to four things in the scripture that elders and shepherds are responsible to do for their sheep. We are to, and these guys should be able to just say these four things automatically. We are to know them, lead them, feed them, and protect them. Know, lead, feed, protect. The spiritual responsibilities of caring for God's people. And then bishop or overseer refers to the oversight of the church, the administrative, the vision casting, the overall direction and health of the church, the welfare of the whole body and the keeping of the whole body. Now, I think it would be helpful here. We're going to go through some slides here on the screen. I think it would be helpful here since we are discussing elders and shepherds and bishops as being one office to explain kind of the setup that we have here at Clovis Evangelical Free Church, because we have a group of men we call our elders. And then we have some men added to that group, and we call that group our shepherds. So we have a group called elders, and we have a group called shepherds. So let's look at that together. We ready? All right. Elders and shepherds here at Clovis EV Free. All elders are shepherds. Here, we're talking here, okay, not the scripture. Here, what's going on at these things. All shepherds are elders or are former elders. Secondly, next slide. All elders fulfill the biblical qualifications. Must presently fulfill the biblical qualifications. All shepherds fulfill the biblical qualifications. Third, all elders are to teach by word and deed in some form or capacity, by word and deed, their teaching. All shepherds are to teach by word and deed. Next slide. Here's the difference. Elders are responsible for the overall direction and spiritual health and well-being of the church body as a whole. So all ministries, all personnel, all vision, all activities, all... Shepherds are responsible for the spiritual health and well-being of the members of their shepherd group. That's the difference between elder and shepherd. So let's go through some quick bullet points. Next slide. The only difference in elders and shepherds is that those who are currently serving as elders are also serving in the role of the bishop. or exercising oversight of the entire congregation and all ministries together. We do that together. Second, the reason for additional shepherds beyond our number of elders is so that we can better watch over and care for our members. That's why we have a shepherd ministry. That's why every member is assigned a shepherd. We take seriously the calling to watch over and care for your souls. Third point. So this structure allows us to maintain the biblical portrait of elder, shepherd, bishop. First of all, secondly, to keep ministry and servanthood at the forefront of church leadership. That's the point, which leads me to number three. And not to allow the elder board to be nothing more than a board of directors. That's the point, which they so most often devolve into. Just merely a group of guys that get together and make decisions. That's not the biblical portrait of an elder. Yes, elders are called upon to make decisions to watch over and guide and protect and ensure spiritual well-being of the congregation as a whole. But just to sit back and make decisions, no. Shepherd the flock of God. So that's how things kind of run around here for the time being, because we are called to watch over souls, individual people, members of the church. So you can pray for us in that respect. Now let's look back to the text before we move on to the next point. I don't want us to miss what is Peter's foremost primary instruction is to the elders. Number one, he says, shepherd the flock of God. That comes first. You make sure as an elder that you shepherd the flock of God. And what is the main task of the shepherd? To make sure his sheep are being fed in the best of pastures, which is only the Word of God. Shepherd the flock. There's a reason why Peter believes this to be the primary task of the elder. Because that is exactly what Jesus told Peter. Not once or twice, but three times. You recall the story in John chapter 21. After Jesus had risen from the dead, before he ascended back to heaven, he restores Peter to ministry. The same guy that denied him three times. Through this series of, he's asking a soul-searching, stirring question, and then he adds to it a command, a direction of life. And he does that three times, restoring Peter back. One, two, three times. He says, Peter, do you love me? Now that's quite a question to ask someone who's denied you three times. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Peter never forgot that conversation or the importance of it. The only way to care for God's people is to feed them. To feed them as a shepherd feeds sheep in the best of pastures. So that's a calling. There's a calling of a shepherd. But how should a shepherd oversee God's people? That's what we're talking about now in the second part of verse 2. And on into verse 3. How should a shepherd oversee God's people? Peter describes the attitude of a shepherd. The motive. The intention. Along with the job description. In other words, it matters just as much how you care for God's people as it does that you care for God's people. Right motive and right heart are crucial in fulfilling the calling of a shepherd. It begins in the heart. There are very different ways to feed sheep. You can cram food down their throat, or you can spread a banquet of joy before them that they simply can't resist. You can feed them meals devoid of any spiritual nutrition, or you can feed them on the abundant, life-giving, soul-saving, faith-sustaining truth of God's Word. Full of grace, full of gospel, full of Christ, full of glory, full of truth. Those are the kinds of vitamins and nutrients and minerals that sheep need. And as sheep, we are constantly hungry. We don't recognize our hunger. You can be starving to death and not know it. We don't recognize how spiritually malnourished we are. We are to be constantly fed, all of us constantly feasting on the daily, sustaining, life-giving Word of God. You can feed people God's Word in a way that leaves them feeling beaten down and burdened with guilt, or you can feed people God's Word in a way that leaves them dazzled at Christ, stunned at Christ, marveling at Christ, and hungry for more. Leaving the gathering, the assembly around God's Word and not ready to take a week off until next Sunday, but leaving, desiring to know more and eat more and grow more and love more. Sometimes you spoon feed and sometimes you force feed. And the job description doesn't point out the difference for you. That you feed doesn't tell you how you feed. So Peter describes the proper attitude, the heart of the shepherd in these three ways. He says, number one, not under compulsion, but willingly as God would have you. As God would have you. Elders are not to serve God's people out of a sense of dreaded duty or task or obligation or feeling as if you're backed into a corner and you've said no so many times, you've got to say yes and hurry up and get this thing over. Not as though you have to shepherd God's people. Not as though it's a burden that you don't want to bear. But as though you get to shepherd God's people. Because that's the way God would have you shepherd His people. God loves a cheerful giver. And He loves a cheerful shepherd as well. You get to watch over His people and care for them. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, Peter says. That is, not for what you can get out of it, whether that be monetary compensation or some idea of status within the church. We are to serve God's people not because there is something in it to get, but it is an opportunity to give. Not for shameful gain. This is not an opportunity for you to gain. This is an opportunity for you to give. Not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. That's how you shepherd. Not domineering, but being an example. Elders are not a group of men who have arrived in our spiritual journey and therefore look down upon the people of God from a high tower of holiness and tell everybody else what they need to do. Absolutely not. Elders are people called of God who are just as needy as everybody else. Right in the middle of our sanctification, like every believer in this life still living is right in the middle of his or her sanctification, fighting desperately every day to not be overcome by the world and not be drug apart by the flesh. That's where elders are. They're not up here. They're with you, fighting in constant need of grace, just like everybody else. Their calling is not above the people, but with the people. Examples. Not example in the sense of, okay, they're up there and here's how they got there. But in the sense of, they're with us and they're making it. And they're loving Him and they're not giving up. And they are suffering and they're still believing. They are examples. They're leading us. They're encouraging us. They're feeding us. They're keeping us going. They're right here with us. That's the example. How? So how? How you are to shepherd God's people? It's a matter of the heart. An elder is just as prone to selfishness, just as prone to pride, just as prone to any sin that any of us are. So how can a shepherd maintain his heart before God in such a way that he leads this way and doesn't fall prey to using elder as a title? But as not a title that deserves something, but as a means to glorify God by caring for His people. Well, I believe that leads us to point three. Getting to the shepherd. If you could say it this way, a shepherd shepherding his heart as he shepherds God's people. Verses 4 and 5. The shepherd is also a sheep. Point 3. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. When Peter says, the chief shepherd appears, when the chief shepherd appears, there's no doubt he's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. No one reading this letter says, who is that? Because he's been talking about His glory being revealed. Partaker of the glory that is going to be revealed. We know who he's talking about. We know he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And furthermore, there is no doubt that the mention of a chief shepherd is a clear reminder to any under shepherd. Reminds him to whom the sheep belong. And it reminds him that he himself is a sheep who is longing for, anxiously awaiting a shepherd, the chief shepherd. The shepherd is also a sheep. When the chief shepherd appears, he will give you an unfailing fading crown of glory. He says that in a means of motivation, in a means of keeping shepherds in their hearts right in such a way that they shepherd well and they don't abuse the flock of God and they don't neglect the flock of God and they don't misplace their place as sheep who are also shepherds in the flock of God. The chief shepherd's going to appear. And if you shepherd well, He gives you an unfading crown of glory. Well, what is that? Unfading crown of glory. Oh, I'm not going to go into a crown lesson throughout the New Testament right now. What I want to say is this. Whatever it is, whatever it means, we can know this for sure. And this is for all of us. God reserves the greatest rewards for the greatest timing to ensure the greatest joy. God reserves. When are you going to get this? When the chief shepherd appears. Not a moment sooner. God reserves the greatest reward, an unfading crown of glory, for the greatest time, when the chief shepherd appears, when time gets folded up in eternity. This unfading crown reserves the greatest reward for the greatest timing in order to ensure the greatest joy. If God rewards you now, that's joy, but it's not the greatest joy. He's reserving that. He's reserving that. And that keeps us shepherds or sheep or whoever we are in Christ. That keeps us. That sustains us. Now, in verse 5, I believe, when he says likewise, I believe he's still talking to elders. He could be talking to the church at large. He could be. But I think he's still addressing. I don't think he's changed audiences right here. And I'll tell you why. Because the word elder can refer to the office in the church, or it can refer to age in relation to younger. In the Scripture, it can refer to those two. And in church, some men serve as elders in the office who are younger men. They're New Testament examples of that. Timothy, Titus were young men who were serving as elders in the church. So they're in the office, but they're not an elder in age. They're elder in office. I believe in verse 5, since he's getting to the heart, I believe he's still talking to elders, and now he's helping shepherds shepherd one another as they shepherd God's people. For the same reason mentioned earlier, they need just as much grace as everybody else. And as they're watching over God's people, who's watching over them? And so this is extremely insightful, I believe. I think Peter is saying in verse 5, you who are younger men serving as elders in the church, be subject to the elders who are serving as elders. The older guys that are older than you serving as elders as well. You be subject to them. He's getting to something because he steps back and makes it really clear next, right? By the way, all of you clothe yourselves with humility. It's not just the young guys that need it. Young guys, you really need it. You get the office of elder and goes to your head and you, oh boy, you're something now. You're elder. Hey, be subject to those. Be subject to the elders, young guys. Oh, and by the way, older guys, you're not out. You're not done yet. You haven't arrived. You fight pride too. That's where he's going. He's going through the heart. You become a shepherd. You become an elder. You become an overseer of God's people. And immediately pride starts working his way in 100 different ways, 100 different angles, from 100 different circumstances. He works his way in hidden. You can't see it, but the way you act and the way you talk and the way you look at God's people says you need some humility. And when I say that, I'm like this. Because the scripture everywhere is saying, elders, be humble. You're the first ones to get prideful around here. Because you're an elder. Hey, you're a sheep. The chief shepherd's coming. That's what he's saying. That's a good word. It's a good word because not only do elders need instruction and reminders of how they are to relate to the church as a whole, but because elders are sinners in the process of sanctification too, we also need instruction as to how to relate to one another. Don't think that elders must be the ones who have it all together. No, in fact, Peter aims straight for the greatest danger. Straight to the inclination to become prideful because of this position. And it's in fact, pride can be hidden and sneak in because of that position. That's why it's so sneaky. That's why next Peter's going to say, your adversary, he roams around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And you know, when he says that next week, we're going to see that he says that right after he says, humble yourself. That's where he roams the most. Because if he can get pride in, he can tear the church apart. He can lame and weaken and break a church, God's people. If he can get some shepherds to be prideful. So Peter tells the young elders, be subject. And he tells every elder, clothe yourselves with humility. Being an elder does not mean you have all the answers. It only means you are you are responsible to lead God's people to the answer, which is going to be found in Scripture. Not in your thought or your opinion, in Scripture. That's the pasture that we lead God's people to. Being an elder does not mean you have arrived. It only means you are responsible to help God's people arrive with you. It's not an easy task. It's hard enough to watch over your own soul. It's a fearful task. You take them to the wrong pasture. You feed them the wrong meal. It has eternal consequences. Responsible, not because you have arrived, because you are to help God's people. You're one of the means, one of the means. There is nothing that will help a shepherd to shepherd God's people well, quite like remembering that he himself is but a sheep. But a sheep. Again, humility is once again the key. And that's why it says, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That phrase there, opposes the proud, opposes means he sets himself against. That's a fearful place. There's no believer that wants to be there. There's no unbeliever who, if he really knew what that means, just wants to be there. God sets himself against the proud, but gives grace. What is it that we all need constantly, shepherd or sheep? Grace. To the humble. Elders must not only shepherd, but they must care for God's people from a certain heart perspective. A heart position. It's not the position of being an elder, it's the heart position of the elder that qualifies him to be an elder. And to do that, one must daily pursue humility. Pride will not allow you to shepherd from a standpoint of grace and gratitude. Pride will not allow you to be gracious. Only those who know, I was reading this, and it's a paraphrase, I don't have it quoted exactly, but in Paul Tripp's new book, Two Pastors, only those who themselves know that they desperately need grace, only they can give grace. If you don't think you need grace, you won't give much. If you think you've got it all together, you'll expect your sheep, hey, get in line, get it all together. But if you realize the only way you're going to make it is grace, you'll be gracious to those sheep who are wondering, how in the world can I ever make it? Neglect or abuse of the sheep comes down to the heart of the shepherd. I think it's interesting that in the very title, shepherd, God means to keep us, pointing us to humility. You see, while being a common occupation in the New Testament days, being a shepherd was not a respectable one. People may love your wool, but they didn't love your company if you were a shepherd. And in fact, shepherds often lived lonely, rugged, poor lives out caring for sheep. It was a most humbling vocation. But that in itself is one of the glories of this precious calling. On the one hand, you are nothing more than a shepherd. On the other hand, you are caring for God's people. What a vocation. What a gift. What a gift to the church. That the ones God means to watch over you are shepherds. Shepherds. That's how being a shepherd is at once both most humbling and yet most joyful. But that's true of the Christian life, isn't it? That's the Christian life as a whole. At once most humbling to know I'm part of God's flock. I am part of God's flock. At once most humbling and most joyful. Well, that's what it looks like when sheep are called to be shepherds. Men who are sheep and have been graced in such a way that they are responsible now to help the whole flock arrive. How? Keep feeding them by word and by deed, by example, on the word. Keep feeding them graciously, because that's how you are fed. Graciously. That's how we make it. Together. Let's pray. Father, we rejoice that you have done so many good things for your people. And one is that you have given us shepherds. You have given us shepherds to watch over us. And they are sheep too, but they are also shepherds. And you've given us men that you are gracing and you are raising and you are conforming to the image of your Son, and you are placing them among us as examples, people to look to and be encouraged by and hear counsel from and learn from and sit under and encourage and be with, and men who are, you have given the task to lead us and be responsible over us so that we're not wandering and meandering and going from authority to authority to authority and mass confusion, but you have among us, right here, locally, among us, established men to care for us who are just as we are, just sinners in their sanctification too. What a gift. What a gift that they are shepherds to us, feeding us God's Word, leading us, keeping us, watching over us. By example, showing us a need for grace and a delight in your glory. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise that you have made it this way. That shepherds watch over us until the chief shepherd appears. And he is who we all long for. For the glory of his name we pray. Amen.